Welcome to the Authentic Embodiment Podcast, a place where we can unlock our soul's highest potential for expansion and embodiment. Hello, hello, beautiful beings. Welcome back, or if it's your first time, welcome to another episode of the Authentic Embodiment Podcast with your host, me, Kyra Peterson. And today I just want to share some big awarenesses that I have had today, and really it's just an invitation to really sit with these moments, these little nuggets that you have within your own life as I sort of share on what I'm about to share. And what I'm relating to is I woke up this morning with this feeling that like this is maybe an important day. Like maybe it's an anniversary, maybe like something happened a year ago on this day, or I don't know, just something felt really important. But in reality, it was just another day, nothing specific highlighted in the year, no holidays, etc., or anniversaries. But As I came to my altar space this morning and was really starting in my devotional practice, as I do every morning, after I just really called in my guides, my angels, my ancestors, and really set a prayer and intention for the space and put out my offerings for my guides, angels, and ancestors, just seated wisdom just started channeling through like laser beams into my head. And what was just so potently expressed to me was that this is the anniversary of the initiation of the initiatory phase of your life. And I was thinking, okay, what is today? I physically had to look on my phone to see what the actual date is, not the day of the week. And I realized, wow, it's been exactly 1 year to the day that I injured my knee. And I had a whole podcast episode. If you haven't tuned in, I'm not for sure the episode number, but it is called Raw and Real Pain Codes. And in hindsight, it's almost like, I don't want to say laughable now, but I just feel a little pitiful. I had suffered a knee injury, rollerblading, and when I recorded that episode, I was in the throes of strep throat after I had a sinus infection, and I spent the greater part of June being sick. And I'm just reflecting back to this portion of my life. As I'm recording this, it's May 2022, and so in May of 2021, I injured my knee right before Mother's Day, and I was to leave to go on a trip in about a week and a half, where my sister and I were exploring and traversing the beautiful and sacred lands in and around Sedona in Arizona. And we had these big plans and dreams to hike all the different vortexes and hike the south rim of the Grand Canyon. And I injured my knee. I was in a knee immobilizer. I was leaking joint fluid. I couldn't bend my knee. I was in a lot of pain and I was pretty miserable. And I had to walk through all these airports, and still, even if you don't plan on doing a lot of hiking, just sightseeing, doing some shopping, I still managed to clock in a mile and a half to 2.5 miles on my hurt knee every day while we were on our trip. But aside from all the actual physical things that were just kind of unfolding, well, and on top of that, before I kind of finish off the tangible things that were happening, my husband and I had one of our most cataclysmic disruptions in our partnership as long as I can remember, honestly. And I'm not here to go over those details. I honor my privacy and my husband's privacy and the privacy of our marriage container. It's very sacred and very holy to me. So I keep those details to myself, but I will just say there was some big friction between us, and it was really a catalyst. That's why I say cataclysmic, not like where it necessarily was a disaster that we never recuperated from. It was an unfolding process that really allowed us to look into all parts of our relationship and really see where we can strengthen our foundation that's already been laid out and that we've already crafted and cultivated together, and see where our weak spots were and how we can strengthen our bond. And that just shifted something in me. I've always treated my marriage and my partnership with my husband as sacred. He is such a sacred being, and I'm so honored to be in partnership and walk this life with him, and that he chooses me every day, because that's what marriage is, right? It's a sacred union. Even if you don't look at it as in a religious context, it's this union where two people are deciding for better, for worse, and that we're choosing each other, and that's an everyday commitment. This isn't a bloodline that you're born into. This isn't your ancestral lineage. This is a relationship that you're choosing to form your own lineage, right? As you, or not, it's really a choice whether you have children and then grandchildren and greats, and then it goes on and on and on. But really, it's just this cohesive union between two souls in human form, like as we're both embodied in human form in this earthly realm in this lifetime. So that really shook things up for me. And between my knee injury and me also feeling devastated that I had been planning this trip to Sedona, which I had never been before, and I just knew my soul was calling me there. There was just some ancient wisdom seated in the land and in the energy of all of the ancestral lineages that are on the land and have woven through these lands throughout time. I felt the pull and the call, and I had all these big dreams and grand visions of what it would be like, and that was all just ripped out from underneath me naturally. And it was the biggest head-to-head war and ultimately unfolding of one of my biggest patterns. It was the biggest pattern disruptor, my injury, and this just cataclysmic experience with my husband and I, or between him and I. And it really had me witnessing the ways that I was micromanaging my own life and trying to control my reality and circumstances, where I wasn't trusting in the flow of life, and I wasn't surrendering, I wasn't releasing, I wasn't allowing, I wasn't letting go. I was stuck in patterns, and I spent, from the beginning of 2021 until that moment of May of last year, just really trying to start making new commitments, like having a daily devotional practice and just kind of reframing the way that I weave in the world, the way that I think, the way that I experience. But I hadn't really found that touch point to completely shift my trajectory and really harness and actualize those things. And the universe just sent me a huge quantum leap in the form of like a death portal. Death of old narratives and stories and ways that I was showing up and existing that I was aware of and unaware of. And anyways, I share all these very tangible real world things that have happened to me to say, as these beautiful laser sharp messages were coming into my awareness today, the deep invitation below these things was to really, really fully slow down. Slow down. Sometimes we're in a hurry to accelerate, to expand, to evolve. When we have an awareness over a certain wound or a certain trauma or something that doesn't feel good, maybe we recognize we've carried on behavioral patterns or coping mechanisms, or a way that we regulate our emotions or don't regulate our emotions are coming to the surface. You know, whether we've learned these behaviors, we've inherited these behaviors, or they've become coping mechanisms from our own experience. Like, once we have that actualization, we want to change it, shift it, like, quickly. We don't want to be in it. We don't want to be stuck with it. And that's where I was. I was just stuck with all of my shit. I was quite literally just stuck with it. I didn't want to be with it. I wanted to run away from it. And so instead of really just allowing myself to be in my own dark night of my soul and sit with the darkest places of myself where there was barely a sliver of light to see my way through or hold on to. When I really allowed myself to be in those spaces is when true change, not temporarily changing, not, you know, you have some big epiphany experience, maybe you carry that with you for a couple weeks to a month and then we fall back into old patterns, where I really made shifts that I can say today, a year later, I'm still carrying with me these quantum leaps, these death portals that I've gone through. I'm carrying the gifts that I received in these challenges. I'm carrying the lessons, the coded lessons that I received in this darkness and these shadows. And I'm sitting with all these beautiful signs and synchronicities as I'm in a space of, I've been slowing down so much over the last 8 months to a year, and in the space of slowing down, allowing my life to be slow like honey, sweet and slow like honey, appreciating all the sweetness of life, the clouds and the sky, the breeze, the earth, and all of the beautiful things that bloom from her fertile soil, just slowing down and appreciating the sweetness of life, that my body is this incredible, immaculate ecosystem. That we live on this beautiful blue planet that is perfectly protected with the thinnest bubble, this thinnest layer that keeps our atmosphere, keeps our earth beautiful, our air in our lungs, in on our planet. And we're just on this giant rock spinning through space, and we just forget like that sweetness of life and how there's this slow, this yummy and slow fluid movement of honey. I just feel like honey has been a metaphor for my life in the last year. All of the things, these cataclysmic human experiences that have happened have really called more parts of myself home to me. This year has felt like an initiation from May of last year until May of this year. It's felt like a homecoming. And I would not be where I am, and I would not have found my way if I didn't decide to go into some of the darkest parts of my own human experience from childhood until now. And I have not traversed at all. It's sort of a book that never ends, really, right? The book of life. It's this marathon of experience, not a race. And I feel that one of the deepest unfoldings is this knowing that I'm carrying with me in my unfolding, is that the more conscious I become, the more aware I am of my own shadows and my own wounds. And so essentially, the more conscious I become, the more consciousness, the more light I'm able to shine on my unconsciousness, my darkness, my shadows. And that can be painful to sit with our own shit. And I decided to remove myself from social media for a year, for this being such, me being in such a big death portal and cycle, that I just didn't want the outside influence, the comparison, the validation that I know that I would be seeking out, that I would be trying to default and lean onto as my old coping mechanisms, my old behavioral patterns and defaults. And instead, I would have to just sever that energetic connection that is social media and all the beautiful people that I do enjoy communicating with, and isolate myself so that I can be with my own shit without trying to pour it on other people, without trying to have other people hold it, without having other people try to validate my experience. I just sat with my own shit. And not just sitting with my own shit to wallow, but to see the depth of what's there, to get to the core of what's causing this whole entire experience that I'm living in now to be in full operation in the way that it is. Like, what is the root cause of why I'm operating this way now? Why do I feel the need to talk over people and voice my opinion so aggressively sometimes now? Like, where is that stemming from? And so instead of focusing on all my 33-year-old worldly Kyra problems that may exist here and now. That may metaphorically be the branches and the leaves on the tree. I wanted to get to the base. I wanted to get to the roots below the surface in the dark void below the earth where all life is born from. I wanted to get to the roots. I wanted to get all the way down to that mycelium network. You know, the parts of ourselves that, you know, where we stem from, that's connected to this vast, infinite, universal life force energy. I wanted to get to that. And because I've been able to slow down and experience that sweetness and that beauty of honey, and I've been in that space of slowing down, I've been able to touch that space of transcendence, somewhere between transcendence and immanence from time to time. And not that I'm perfect, because that is the human experience, accepting the polarities. And I am learning to appreciate and be in gratitude for the depth of my painful moments and the depth of my suffering, just as much as I have an abundance of gratitude for my most joyful and ecstatic moments. Really understanding the duality of existence and that everything is divinely timed. And if I allow it, if I give permission to it, everything is unfolding exactly as it should. And everything, every seed planted on my path, every person, every experience that I meet, that I witness, that I navigate through, everything is medicine. If I allow it to be. When we resist the medicine, whether that medicine comes from joy and just complete bliss, or whether it comes from our most painful, heartbreaking suffering, just allowing myself to trust that each of those experiences are equally the most potent amount of medicine meant for me in that moment. And I feel like I get a little soul chuckle. So kind of segueing into another topic, I'm looking at the threads that have traced from a year ago until now, and I'm referencing the wonderful book by Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. And I've been really seeing how I've been sick a lot more in the last year than I have in, I don't know, the 5 years prior. I've had strep throat, I've had sinus infections, yeast infections, UTI. I came in contact with someone who tested positive for COVID, and I was sick for 15 days. I've had my knee injury, I've been leaking joint fluid, I've had bad migraines, there's just been a lot of things. I've had a couple 48-hour stomach bugs, or I've lost 7 pounds in one of those 2 days. There's just been a lot of things. I feel that because I was on this cycle of having so many awarenesses of my own shit and in the places where I maybe needed to shift things, but I did not really access the deep inner well of wisdom that would be the catalyst to change anything. Instead, I just kept perpetuating in the same circle of stuckness. And then I feel like I compensated by receiving certifications and sharing my experiences on social media and offering Reiki healings and pulling cards for people. But really, this was just these like beautiful adornments that I was hanging on my decaying experience, my rotting experience. Like I was trying to dress up this dead tree, this dead lifeless tree with pretty ornamental objects. But instead I just needed to like uproot that tree and tend the soil in the first place to see why that tree didn't grow and died, you know? So looking through the Louise Hayes, You Can Heal Your Life, she basically, if you're unfamiliar with this book, she just ties the energetic meanings, associations to physical pains, viruses, all the way to cancer, bones, breaks, fractures, swelling, headaches, nausea, you name it. She ties an energetic symptom to it, you know, maybe energetically something that hasn't moved through your body or is moving through your body, and how that's manifested into that internal dis-ease has manifested into external dis-ease. And she also has some really beautiful affirmations to combat that energy that may be stuck and that's causing physical ailments and symptoms. And so when I go to her book and I look at what it represents for your knee represents ego and inflexibility. And even the affirmation she has to pair with it says, I'm flexible and flowing. And knee problems represents a stubborn ego and pride and inability to bend, inflexibility, and fear. And the really beautiful affirmation for this is forgiveness, understanding, compassion. I bend and flow with ease and all is well. And I read that this morning because I like had an internal chuckle. I love Louise Hay. I kind of have an affinity for her, not in an obsessive way, but she just is kind of like a sweet, wise grandmother. And several years ago, I guess I should say a couple years ago, if anybody knows me, near and dear ones, I love the Mantra Band bracelets. If you go to mantraband.com, mantraband.com, you can see what I'm talking about. And if anyone from Mantra Band is listening, I would love to be sponsored. I'm a big fan. I've been wearing your jewelry since 2015, but I bought this bracelet that says all is well for myself and for my friend. And that quote was adapted from this book, You Can Heal Your Life. And it's funny that my knee problems like came to a head. I injured my knee and I hurt myself. And it literally talks about forgiveness, understanding, compassion, right? The things that I really need to foster and cultivate that are being called, asked of me to bend and flow with ease and to know that all is well. And I had so much swelling. I had so much swelling in my knee. Every single day I was leaking joint fluid and my knee was just constantly swelling. And when I look up the meaning of swelling, it says that I'm stuck. It literally says being stuck in thinking, clogged, painful ideas. And of course it would make sense. You're holding fluids in your body. So you're holding stuck energy in your body, things that are wanting to flow freely. And it literally puts the affirmation at my thoughts flow freely and easily. I move through ideas with ease. And I just find it so funny that that's sort of along the same lines of the knee and knee problem affirmations as well. I'm flexible and flowing. I bend and flow with ease. I move through ideas with ease. My thoughts flow freely and easily. I find that so synchronistic, and it's almost like an internal chuckle now, because like if I could have known that now, but and of course in pure universal synchronistic fashion, it seems like it's always in hindsight where it looks laughable, like thanks universe, you got me. And I decided to look back in my journal at what I wrote around this time where these just like incredibly pivotal things happened. And I wanted to share them with you. I wanted to share them with you. And I want to share these with you because I want to remind you. This is the invitation that I was speaking of in the beginning. I want to remind you, but also invite you to be in that space of deep reflection, that space where you slow down like honey and you experience the stillness or the slowing down and the sweetness, the duality of human experience. And it takes so much time it doesn't necessarily take so much time. Some people have huge, tremendous shifts, like quantum leaps and just like a snap of a finger. But our idea of time and the amount of time that we think it takes us to get through something or to overcome something or to not be stuck or to really like anchor in a new habit or a commitment we've made to ourselves, like it just seems jarring sometimes and so defeating time. But this is the invitation. I invite you to really look back. Whatever day today is you're landing on as you're listening to this, go back and look in your calendar and see anything that you've filled in the last year, the things that you've done. And if you are a person who keeps a journal or likes to write down any of your own musings, I invite you to look back a year ago around this time, see where you were. And if you have the time and space and it feels deeply resonant, look through the whole year. And I find this in myself, but I also found this in to be the energy in several conversations I've had in the last few months, that we really don't like to go back and look at our own shit, right? Like, you know, we go to a journal and we pour out our heart on these pages and just like our wounding and their process and what we're working through, and it just feels so sticky and right? Kind of like honey. But maybe not necessarily in the sweet way, right? The kind of that like it's more attached to the bee. It feels like it stings you. It's hurtful. Feels like you've had a thorn in your side. Instead of pulling it out, you're just sort of like gently pushing on it, and you still know it's there sometimes. Like that's how it feels, kind of sifting through our old shit. We don't want to revisit it. I want to keep it locked away. But resisting our own shit is what gets us stuck in the first place. And I've learned through allowing myself to really allow myself, number one, to let go of control, because I lost all sense of control when I injured myself and all of my plans got shifted around and these big death portals happened in my own human experience and in my relationship, and just so many challenges presented themselves in such a big time frame. I mean, a short time frame, and they were just big things that I was sick. My body was purging. I was mentally not in a good place, emotionally just wiped out and depleted and void. It was hard. And going back and thinking about that or sitting with that energy, no, it doesn't feel great. But it's that ability to hold myself in the moments that are out of my control because they haven't happened. It's on a future timeline, and all I can do is put my fullest intention on how I want to show up, how I want to experience, how I want to think and feel, and give that my full attention every moment, knowing that I can't control any outcome or any timeline. All my plans could be canceled in a moment's notice. My life could end today, and things that I planned a year from now won't even matter. It's how am I living my fullest expression of self today and here and now, while of course making plans for the future. We're human beings. We crave our adventure and our plans and our connections and our to-dos, but not allowing those things to dictate my experience. If I have them all controlled, if they're the way that I want them, if I have something to look forward to, the thing in the future, I'll be happy when I get to do this, or I can't wait for this vacation in this many days, and then I'll recharge my batteries. Instead of looking forward to something to fill myself in the future, or trying to control some kind of timeline or storyline that's going to happen in the future to dictate my sense of well-being, I let go of that, and I try to channel that energy here and now. That's been the big lesson, and allowing myself to sit with my own shit for my own past, knowing that I have the capacity, whether that trauma was a year ago in my 32-year-old body and my 32-year-old consciousness and self, or it was with my 5-year-old self or my 12-year-old self or my 22-year-old self, I have the capacity to sit with those feelings now from a higher state of awareness, because I've evolved. I've evolved from 20 years ago. I've evolved since yesterday. So I have the ability to sit with that experience in a fuller way. And so instead of reaching out to others for this guidance and support, although that's still, it's still a great thing, like getting advice, getting support is great, but I was using it to be validated, not to be supported. So whenever I would, you know, emotionally vent to somebody, I would want to be validated that like, I'm okay, that I'm worthy, that I'm not too much in these big feelings. Or if I lashed out, you know, at my partner, at my beloved, getting that validation from somebody else that like, no, that's understandable that you said that. And I think that that's completely okay. Getting that validation, because I know that tiny whisper internally in my intuition knew that that wasn't in alignment with my highest self, you know? So I want to share my journal entry with you from May of last year. This was like a day after all of these things, this big, huge death portal was just opened up, and I was just falling into it, this endless free fall into the black, dark, void abyss. And I want to share with you what I wrote this morning. And as I said, this is just a deep invitation, if you feel called to do so, to really reflect on where you've been in the last year. And not in a place with guilt and shame, not where like, oh, well, I had the intention of doing this and I still haven't done it, or whatever it is. Just not sitting with the negative guilt and shame, just witnessing and in gratitude that you're here. You're here presently. My voice coming straight into your ears and air filling up in your lungs. Your whole body is pumping and beating and moving and activating, and you have all these neurons firing off with electrical impulses in your brain. You are beating and pumping and existing, and you're here. You are fucking here. And that is a miracle. And so I invite you to really sit with the fullness of that. That you've survived 100% of your worst days. And you have changed and shifted so much in the last year. And if you really sit with it in stillness, you can experience the vastness, not the highlight reels, not the noticeable things, maybe the two or three things that happened in the last year that you've transcended or overcame or that completely pulled the rug out from underneath you, but really sitting with all the little micro moments that add into an entire macro experience. Can you just sit with the fullness of that? So, here is my entry from last year. When everything you truly identify with is stripped away from you, you realize what really matters. You realize that the energy, time, care, and attention you've placed is in the valueless. You realize how and where your ego has infiltrated your life. Strip away all that doesn't matter, all that doesn't support your highest good, all the things, the people, the experiences, the stuff, the walls, the memories, the relationships that don't add value to you as a soul in human form. Witnessing just how much the ego has been at work in my current reality. While I've been doing all of this work and placing my focus and energy on my personal growth and expansion, or so I've thought, I've rejected what matters the most. My activated ego loves to complain, to talk over people, to give advice when it's not asked, to be right, to control. To lash out, be lazy, judge, to stay distracted and unmotivated, to be enraged, to be inconsiderate, strip away all the layers of conditioning that has been running on autopilot within my reality, peel it all back, peel back the wounds, peel back the triggers, the pain, the projections. And here I am, left bare. Raw in all my vulnerability, so that I may be reborn, rebirthed into a more embodied and attuned vessel. This is the portal. None of what my ego has placed value in really has any value. Strip away all the old versions of myself. Allow them to fall away, truly, bare, brand new, fully alchemized and integrated, dripping in sovereignty. That is who I want to be. Ugh. Just fully sitting with that. I just read the first two lines before I made the decision to read this on an episode, and I didn't read it all the way through, and ugh. I mean, some of it feels icky reading, but that ending, bare, brand new, fully alchemized and integrated, dripping in sovereignty, that's who I want to be. And for me, those words, so you can understand the potency of how I'm expressing them from my heart, is whenever you're peeling back all of your wounds and triggers and you're really able to sit with them and receive the medicine from all the experiences, from all that's coming to the surface, you're able to shift them. Right? You're able to alchemize them into something new. You're able to turn something dark into something light. You're able to see the gift and the challenge, the light and the darkness. And not that you fully just alchemized it and it's just gone and you're never going to revisit that wound and that pain, because that's not true. That's just not true. Yes, there are things that you can heal from and there's no looking back. You've just turned over a new leaf and you never backpedal ever again. That's true. But what's also true is that you'll revisit some of the same wounding over and over and over and over again until you take your last breath. But the beautiful thing within that, the gold that you can alchemize from the lead within this experience, is that you're able to move through it with more consciousness, with more confidence, with more integrity, with more grace, with more compassion. And it gets easier and easier the more ease you have in your life. And that's the fully integrated piece. When we alchemize something, when there's a big quantum leap or shift in our awareness or our experience of something that's happened to us, and we're on this path of transcendence, it's the integration piece. We have to keep applying it to our lives and applying it and applying it and applying it. And those moments where we feel triggered by some wounding and we recognize it, instead of being reactionary, we're in our responsibility, our ability to respond. We're able to sit with ourselves, soothe ourselves, hold ourselves, act from our soul, keep our heart open, and stay vulnerable and stay in integrity with the truth of who we are. That's sovereignty. And reading the last words, that's who I want to be. I feel that I'm in that unfoldment. It's not that I've just, this is who I am right now. I just feel that I'm in this process. It's not that I've mastered this, and there's not really anything to master. It's just what there is. It's just to be. There's nothing to master. There's no mountain to climb, because as soon as you climb that mountaintop, you're just going to see more mountains, because you can see from a different viewpoint, a different lens of awareness. There's always the next mountain to climb, and it's just part of the journey. And so today, what I wrote this morning that I would love to share with you is, today marks a year ago that I injured my knee, and a year since I took my first step, unwillingly, into the largest death portal I've experienced in my lifetime. Reflecting back on the last year, so much shedding, so much falling away, so much death, so much decay, so many lessons, ego deaths, unimaginable pain and unimaginable ecstasy. It's easy to feel as though I haven't made much of a progression in my experience. But when I reflect back on the last 365 days, I see just how far I've traversed and how much has shifted for me and within me. I am in awe at my own willingness to come to the altar that is life, bare and naked. How I've honored many commitments that I've made to myself and for myself. I've set boundaries. I've spoken my truth, even when I felt so vulnerable and shaky, even when I felt unsure. I've said no. I've learned to validate myself instead of allowing myself to be validated by others. I'm learning to honor my own boundaries because they are necessary. I've cultivated a deeper and richer connection to Mother Earth, to Pachamama, to my guides, to my angels, to my ancestors, to Yahweh. I've been more present. I've put myself out there. I've sat with women and poured my open heart into the space. I've stood in my truth. I've been in integrity. I've listened to my body and honored what she's calling for. I've slowed down, experiencing life like the slow sweetness of honey. I've been immensely grateful. This life, this very human experience, is a gift. What a gift it is. And I'm not immaculately perfect. By no means. I don't have it all figured out, and I don't always get it right. But I'm willing, and I'm proud of myself for my willingness. I'm proud of myself for my commitment to this journey and to my process, to this deep healing work, to my soul's evolution and expansion. I'm here for what's next. I'm here for what's to come. And so it is. Ugh, I love it. Beautiful medicine. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful medicine. And that's kind of what I'm sitting with today. Just that that profound feeling. I catch myself sometimes, you know, when we're in that negative contrast of our experience, and, you know, we'll hear from people we love, or even though the tiny little voice in our head is telling us there's just so much to be grateful for, look around. And when we're in the immensity of our darkness, we either just feel hopeless and we don't feel that gratitude, we don't feel that pulse, or we're just angry, full of rage. How can I sit here and be grateful when there's so much war and violence and corruption and chaos in the world? And I find that when I just keep coming to that altar naked, allow my willingness and commitment to come to the altar that is my devotional space every day, that is a deep soul invitation for my heart to unfold and to slow down enough to be still with that quiet voice, that whisper, blow all the chatter that's constantly bombarding us through our senses in this physical realm and reality. When we slow down enough, we can hear that tiny whisper. And that tiny whisper is the voice of our soul. Our highest internal guidance system, our intuition, the seat of our intuition. And that's where all of the beautiful pieces that have allowed me to alchemize and integrate this entire last year into my experience, to be in a space where I truly feel that I'm dripping in sovereignty. And as I said, it's not every day I feel this full expression, but when you get quiet enough in your pain and suffering and in your just ecstatic bliss, quiet enough to be with what's below the surface, we can really see the space between our external experience and our internal experience. And that's where gratitude, deep soul gratitude, exists. And it's always inviting us there to that space where we can be so completely still, sitting outside in nature for an hour. Just go and plant yourself somewhere outside, bring a blanket, put in some nice binaural beats, nothing that's just keeping your mind stimulated. Just be in a state of peace. Listen to the wind in the trees, the birds flying in the sky. And just be with it. Be with how everything around you is living. The grass that you're sitting on. All the tiny insects that you can see and unseen in the grass. The bacteria, the microorganisms below the surface, the roots of the plants, the mycelium network, this intelligent network of wisdom below all of the roots, all of the root systems of our living trees and plants. All of the other living beings who are planted with their feet on the same earth at this moment in time. And the fact that we're spinning through the vast cosmos on this rock, which is essentially tiny, compared to the infinite boundless vastness of this universe. This tiny rock is just propelling through the universe while it's spinning, while we're simultaneously kept in this beautiful paradise and oasis that is the earth, that is alive, that is thumping and pulsing and breathing and moving and flowing. And what a gift. What a gift that we live here and we are an extension of it. May you receive these transmissions. May they activate you. May they uplift you, uplevel you. And even if it's just a tiny, microscopic, energetic seed planted within you, may it be received in the deepest cellular level. Just feeling into that yummy honey, that sweetness I'm talking about. This is that space. This is that invitation always. Well, that's really it for today, my beautiful loves. And I invite you to come sync up with me. Join me on one of my favorite apps that I have been vibing with for my devotional practice. It's called Insight Timer. That's Insight Timer. It's a free app. You can also pay for premium. But I've been using this through this entire process. It's been one of the biggest allies and tools. And I am not against technology by any means, but I am really leaning into ways to use technology, use apps, and eventually when I decide to reintegrate into social media realms in a more conscious way and an intentional way, right? Because our intention and our attention are our most potent spiritual currency that we can carry in this lifetime. The intention that you hold in your heart, moment to moment, in every experience, and the attention that you give that intention is your greatest spiritual currency. It absolutely imprints and affects and magnetizes your human experience. And I use this app, Insight Timer, for that reason. I have a wonderful one. Well, I say two because I published a new one recently, but I have two really wonderful guided meditations. So if you drop in to Insight Timer and you search teachers through the teacher realm, Kyra Peterson, that's just me, you know, just my name. You search for me, you'll find my picture. It's the same cover photo you'll find on this, on the tile for my podcast. You can find some beautiful, beautiful heart-led, heart-expansive, and intentional meditations. One is to really cultivate your actual intentions, your heart-led desires, and your deepest prayers. And the other one is to help you remember to come back home to yourself, the seat of yourself, your soul, and to guide you into a space of nourishing and replenishing yourself from that space whenever you need to, whenever you're calling it in. So if you feel like landing in and hearing this voice guide you through a deep transcendental meditative experience and receive the codes, then find me on Insight Timer. You can also friend me on Insight Timer. I would love to make friends with you. Send me a friend request. You can find me in Kyra Luna, just KYRALUNA on Insight Timer. That is my just regular member profile. You can see the meditations that I am meditating to every single day, how long I meditate. You can see I have a couple playlists with some of my favorite binaural beats, my favorite chakra healings, and also some of my favorite sadhana songs that I've used and just beautiful sound healings that I've used in my own practice every single day. So come find me. Let's sync up. Let's hold each other accountable and support each other in our devotional practices and our meditation practices. I am here to support you. We are all in this together. Blessings, beautiful beings. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time.